All right, Walker, what's going on, dude?
Kyle, what's happening?
Not much. Just getting this Sunday going here. What about you?
Yeah, same here, dude. I like that you're running the show here. This is kind of your podcast episode.
I mean, I'm trying to be a little more assertive with my podcast persona.
Yes,
dude. Can you believe we've been at this for 6 months?
I honestly can't. After like the horrors of editing for the first month.
I didn't know if you'd last.
I was like, sure, I was going to make it. Yeah, I really didn't think I was going to make it. But no, we're cruising, man. We got 6 issues now.
Yep.
Or we will, starting December 1st.
So what have we gotten so far? Let's recap.
Yeah, let's break it down. So if you are a patron, you get access to warming up issue.
Yep.
Which was a good one.
Yep.
The SIBO warm up.
Yep, that's right.
Ankle sprains.
That's right.
Which is every skater's most useful.
Yeah, I feel like that's been the most useful one for the most amount of people, like injury-wise.
Exactly, exactly. And it's just so good because it like applies to basically every skater. It's like, do these exercises. Like,
yeah.
They will do these exercises. They'll help regardless of whether or not you have an ankle sprain right now.
Yep.
Which I like.
And that one's been nice because we get a lot of questions, a lot of sort of random ankle questions from our patrons.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I just say, hey, do the ankle program. It's more than likely going to help. So that's been kind of nice to show people that.
Yeah. And then we covered static stretching, which I thought was going to be our sort of dud month, but there was a lot of interest in that one. We got a lot of patrons that month.
Yeah, because that was the month we had Jimmy Carlin on for the podcast, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that was a good one. And then we did foam rolling next.
Foam rolling, which turned out to be sort of a dud.
That's true.
That's still a good one, though. And then Achilles tendinopathy. I feel like that was the one for me where I learned the most.
Yep.
And then now we'll be releasing in December patellofemoral pain. Am I saying it right?
Patellofemoral or patellofemoral pain or kneecap pain, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, that's the next issue. It'll be a good one.
Yeah, and that's a really good program. I feel like a lot of those exercises you've thrown at me for various problems. So
yeah, so I'm psyched. Time flies. Yeah, so to all of our patrons, thank you so much for all your support and for people just hearing about us. We got a lot of good stuff on the site. So hopefully more people will have useful topics that they can have access to.
Yeah, and for anyone who has questions, or basically if anyone has specific programs, you know, shoot us a DM, shoot us an email, especially if you're a patron, you know, message us and we're excited to get on the next, start filming the next round of programs. So.
Yeah, and we're basically going to decide which topics to film next based on the feedback we get from you guys. So yeah, hit us up. Walker, what's new with you? I hear you got a book that is coming out.
Yeah, so it's basically ready. It's ready to go. You can pre-order it now, or it'll be shipping in December. It's my novel, the first novel I've ever written.
That's amazing, dude. Yeah, I've been hearing you talk about it a little bit, but I'm kind of offended that you haven't sent me a copy yet, but that's all right.
Are you though? Are you offended? I'm pretty sure you haven't read a book, a novel in like 15 years. Am I accurate with that?
I just feel like you don't think I know how to read. And I will definitely read one of my best friend's first novels that he's releasing. I will break out of my, I'll break out of my dry spell for that. So
all right, well, that'll be the first, because I feel like our attempt at a book club with that Tom Perrotta novel didn't really go anywhere. Did you even open it? Did you even crack that book?
I went on to Amazon to look for a copy of it. So it's baby steps, dude.
Okay,
but I'm psyched. What's the basic gist of the novel, or what can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I mean, so the basic gist is just this story I started writing basically like 6 years ago, and it was all based around this idea of a character who never really made it in skateboarding. You know, it's based in the context of professional skateboarding, but it's not really like a pro skater's journey kind of story. Mm-hmm. So it's about a guy who basically didn't make it. He's working as a maid in a hotel in San Francisco, a hotel that he also lives in. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of a crazy skate adventure story. He just gets into some wild shit that really could only happen in San Francisco. So cool. It's a San Francisco story. It's all fiction. It's like loosely based on characters I've met over the years and friends of ours, but like not, it's, you know, there's not one character who is, there's a lot of composites, but yeah, it's just kind of it's a fun story, plot based. And I don't know, I hope skaters cop it and read it, or people in general. So I'm excited to put it out. I'm also very nervous because it's been something I've been working on for so long, and it feels weird to like actually put it out into the world. But
yeah, no, I know you've been putting a lot of work into it, so I'm psyched for people to see it and read it. I think it's going to get a good response. I got a good feeling about it.
All right, and if you read it, I mean that's the only response I'll need to hear. If Kyle Brown finished reading a book, that'll be. It'll be a win.
Will that be the ultimate endorsement? Just me literally finishing it?
Yep. That'll be like, okay, cool. I did it.
Well, I'm psyched. How can people order it or find out more information about it?
We're selling it through Old Friends. So oh, sweet. It'll be, you know, you can just cop it on the site, ship you a copy.
I love it. So who's our guest for this podcast coming up?
I mean, none other than the Podfather himself, dude.
I love
it. Chris Roberts.
I love it.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Can you believe we got Chris Roberts on the pod? I'm like still kind of fanning out from the experience of talking to him, dude.
I'm pretty psyched. Every guest has been great, but I was extra psyched on this one. So I'm glad he's able to make it on.
Yeah. And I feel like it was really fun to listen to. Basically, you hop into the real, you know, physical therapist that you are. Like, I don't really see that, you know, like the way you are with mm-hmm. patients. It was kind of that. It was a little bit of that. So it was really fun.
You felt like you got a little taste?
Yeah, you know. Because when you talk to me, you don't talk to me like a real patient. You're like, Walker, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Just do these exercises.
Yeah. we're too good of friends for me to be a real physical therapist around you. So
I'm yep, yep.
Yeah, this is a fun one. I'm psyched for everyone to take a listen. And Chris had a really gnarly battle with his version of Achilles tendinopathy. So it'll be a good episode for our listeners just to kind of learn about this injury a little bit more from a pro skater who's dealt with it. So I'm psyched.
And just as a reminder, again, you know, if you want to support us, patreon.com/oldfriendsfitness or oldfriendsandco.com. You can find it all there.
A lot of good stuff there. All right, should we get to it?
Let's get into it.
All right.
Okay, so I got my audio going through.
Dude, let me tell you though, having just started editing a few of these here and there, like it's only been a couple months and it's, you know, sporadic.
Yeah.
My respect for audio editing is just like, I can't even, like I have lost, Kyle has watched me just have serious mental breakdowns with this stuff. It is.
Well, you're just doing audio.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine
That's
having six
saying.
Video, six video tracks, five audio tracks. Like,
I whew. Can't even imagine. And beforehand it was like when I've been, you know, on the Nine Club and seen your operation, yeah. I've been impressed, but I've never even tried editing audio alongside just editing video. So my brain couldn't even go there of like, you know, absorbing it. And now it's just like, I don't know how you do it. I'm like blown
it's
away.
Crazy.
Walker's gone from throwing tantrums at the skate spot to throwing tantrums editing audio.
I'm right there with him. Yep. I'm right there with him, man.
Yeah, Chris, I don't know how you guys do it, man. The energy it takes just to do like one podcast for us like every month. I don't know how you guys do two a week.
Well, luckily Roger's a beast.
Yeah.
He's like a workhorse, and like I'm a workhorse too. Like I will figure something out until I, you know, figure it out. Mm-hmm. I will YouTube and Google and I'll just experiment. And so luckily those two, you know, us two just make the perfect combo. And plus we live like a few blocks away,
yeah.
So that
right
is like crucial to the
yeah
podcast too. But yeah,
and you really made it work with the COVID year. Like how long between, you know, like essentially the shutdowns and then the stop and chats, or what were you doing in the immediate interim? I can't remember.
COVID hit, lockdowns hit. I think we took like a week or two kind of to like regroup and like figure it out. And that's when we bought all these microphones and like, we just wanted to continue the experience show. We put the other show on hold. And then we just were like, okay, cool. Let's just do some nine clubs. Let's catch up with old guests. Let's catch up with guests who've been on the show. Yeah. So, because I don't like it. I don't like interviewing people or having a conversation with somebody over like Zoom or something. Yeah. Like, I think it's more special for them to come in face to face, hear their story, their history, just like you did, Walker.
Yeah.
And I don't like that over Zoom. So during the whole filming, you know, we were just like, you know what? Let's rebrand this. Yeah. Let's do this. Let's call it a stop and chat. And, you know, because it's just basically a stopping and chatting and catching up. And we were like, cool, that's a good idea. And then we could even keep these stop and chats going when the nine club comes back.
Yeah.
You know, and have people come back in the studio and have the stop and chats and the nine club and the experience. And, you know, we kind of add a whole other show. Yeah.
Well, it's great because, cool. you need that opening for bringing guests on that is, because the experience, like, it's kind of clear what you're doing. It's more of like culture, what's happening this week. But then like to bring in someone new, it's almost perfect that it worked out this way, because then it's like can be less of a commitment for a guest to like hop on again.
Dude, totally. Yeah. And it's easy, you know, and like people have, they've been there already. You know, it's like when we start having guests back in the studio, somebody could come back. You could come back for a stop and chat, shoot the shit, talk about your new podcast. We're like, we don't have to go over your skate club, you know? And like, that's what the nine club has kind of become. It's like, it naturally kind of went that way to like that person's like path.
Yeah.
You know? Which is cool. I dig it. You know,
it's good to have that sort of biographical narrative for each person. You know, it's important to them.
I've come to love it, man. Because everybody's path is different and it's super interesting, you know? And that's why I love the stop and chats, because I just like talking to people, you know? So that kind of opens up that whole other realm, you know?
Chris, how was it going, like interview flow wise? How was it going from like in-person interviews to like the Zoom format? Because I have like a tough time. I do telehealth consultations with some of my patients, and it was hard for me to get like the Zoom like flow down. How is that for you guys?
Dude, when we were just doing it from the house, like I think we did like Louis Barletta, Jason Dill. I mean, we may have done another Shane Heil. We did a couple of those. I hate it. But once we got back in the studio and we had the monitor set up with the microphone in front of it, which people think's hilarious because that's not, the microphone's not doing anything, but it just looks funny. That made it a little more normal, you know? And then to have the interaction live with like Raj and then now Jerron and then Kelly and like that kind of made it more normal, you know? But when we were doing the whole from home, like I fucking hate it, you know, because my camera sucks. Like I'm looking at the fucking monitor. Yeah. Like I'm looking at I'm like, dude, this is horrible.
And if
man.
There's any sort of a pause, then it just throws the whole conversation off, you know, like a glitch in the Zoom.
Dude. And that's what it is, man. But that, thank God for the editing, you know, cause then you just take all that out and, you know, I ask a question and then there's like a 3 second pause and then they answer it. So we take all that out, you know, so we try to just have the flow of the conversation just never stop.
Yeah. But anyways, Chris, like before we jump to your Achilles injury story, like just respect for all the stuff you guys have been doing, just keeping it going the past, what, 5 years?
It's coming up to five. Yeah, about four, four and some change.
Time flies.
I appreciate that, man. It's been a labor of love and bottles of aspirin, Tylenol, Advil. It's all of the above, man. But you know what? People love it. We've grown like such a great, strong community around it, which is incredible. You know, you get from the emails to the DMs to, you know, all this stuff of people saying like, hey, I just got a skateboard. just I get more hyped listening to you guys than watching skateboarding.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm 50 years old. I just went out and bought a skateboard. I haven't skated in 20 something years. And now I'm skating with my kid. And even to emails like, hey, I just got out of brain surgery and you guys, you know, cancer and this and that. And you guys have really helped me, you know, just laugh and heal. And I'm just like, I'm blown away. No, I'm blown away. Yeah. Like our community is just incredible. You know, and I've never seen that before, you know, because Walker, you know, as far as I know, it's like, yeah, cool. We're skateboarders, right? We come out with the skate. We came out with a video part. We get a DM. Love your part, bro. You're like, thanks, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it is. Like, hey, you.
And you know, it's, you know, a few minutes that really it puts an impact on somebody. If it's like, if it's your best skating, you know, it's like, all right, my video part every couple of years, like that's like the farthest your impact goes. But with what you guys have on the Nine Club, it's so much more sharing of yourself in a way. Like it's,
and that's the trippiest part of it, man, is because it's us and because it's talking and because it's our personality and people get to know us. It's a whole different vibe than like getting recognized in the street for your video part or you skate for Sovereign or Chocolate or whatever. It's like people know us on a personal level. We're in their living rooms every morning. You know, we're eating, they're eating breakfast with us. They're eating dinner. Like they like that interaction when you see them in real life, they're like, they know you, which is a very weird thing. They're like, hey man, dude, I love the show too. So, like they're talking to me like they've known me for 5 years, you know? And they're like, dude, that thing you said on the show. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, but I don't remember 98% of the shit I say on the show. but I feel you. Seriously. That's something that I think I probably would say. So so that interaction with people is like completely opposite from just being a skateboarder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a trip, man. It's cool. It's cool.
Well, actually, an example of that is basically why we have you here.
Yeah.
Kyle could probably explain it better, but I feel like Kyle had heard you mention something about an Achilles problem.
Chris, what I remember, Chris, is I remember hearing you talk about it briefly, I think years ago. And I remember you talking about it and it just being like a really stubborn, like kind of devastating injury to like a certain part of your skating. Am I remembering correctly?
This is true. I'm sorry. I have to Google Time to Shine video because I don't remember what year that came out. Time to Shine
2007,
skate.
2007 maybe?
Okay. Was 2006? It 2007?
No, don't quote me. I'm just this. If we were going to put money on it, that would be
So it looks like 2006. You're close. 2006. Cool. Yeah. This is great being able to bring up stuff immediately. So yeah, Kyle, absolutely 100%. I was in the process of filming for my Trans World part. This is 2006.
Got it.
I was working with John Holland on the part and it was going well. And for some reason, my Achilles, and I from what I gathered, it's just tendonitis, right? It's overuse of that tendon. And, you know, it's me not stretching. It's me not drinking water. It's kind of, it's a perfect storm for that thing to just seize up, you know? And literally I was sitting at my desk doing something, I don't remember. And it just like, it just froze. And it just kind of like, from what I remember, it just, and I was like, what the, it was like painful. It was just out of nowhere. And I waited a few days. I told John, I'm like, dude, my Achilles, I don't know what's going on. It's like I didn't even know at the time my Achilles. I'm like, it's my lower leg. Like it's froze. And, and week after week, it just was not getting better. And that's when I was like, okay, I got to go to physical therapy. Went to see the doctor, physical therapy, all that stuff. And literally a year of physical therapy, going at least twice a week, at least maybe three times a week.
Dedicated.
I mean, listen, I was in the middle of a video part. I was in the middle of like, you know, turning, you know, going to turn pro for Chocolate. I was like, I was doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And it was devastating, you know, because in my mind, we've all had injuries. We've all had ankle injuries, whatever, you know, a couple of months, whatever. Probably at the longest, it heals. You're back on the board. John Holland's calling me up every week. What's up, dude? Is it better? Like, I'm like, dude, I don't know. I'm going to physical therapy twice. Like, I don't know. I'm spending thousands of dollars.
Damn.
Thousands of dollars for physical therapy. I'm buying Bose.
Was it mostly out of pocket?
Yeah. Bro, they only cover, I mean, Kyle, you probably know, they only cover a certain amount of sessions.
Yep.
So,
yeah, depending on your insurance, yeah, only a certain amount of sessions are covered.
Yeah. So, to make a long story short, man, I'm buying Bosu balls. I'm buying bands. I'm buying, I even bought like my physical therapist felt so bad for me. And I know this is probably illegal. I won't mention who I went to, but they bought me the stim machine, you know, the big, not the little tens, you know, not the little handheld one. They bought me the full on stim machine. And I just bought it off them. You know, they bought it because you can't buy them unless you're a doctor.
Right.
So that's where I was, where the physical therapist was like, I need to buy you this. Like, you need to have this so you could do all this shit in your own. Again, long-winded story going off, but...
No, keep it long. So were you getting clips? Like, were you still skating through it?
Nothing.
Or were you just unable to?
Nothing.
So, Chris, you completely stopped skating for a full year?
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, okay, not... Okay, somewhat. So...
Yeah.
When you do a transfer video, you only get 8 months. You get a year if you're lucky. If you have footage, you know, in the bin already, you're stoked. You have a little bit of a jump start, you know? Yeah. So I go into the transfer video fresh. I have no footage. I start filming with John Holland. And I don't remember how a little bit into it. Mm-hmm. Video was a disaster, by the way. I love John Holland. Love the transfer. But for me, it was a disaster. I went to Spain with the dudes, got a trick at parallel, tried to film another trick. The first day I get there, bust my ankle.
Damn.
Like roll it?
Rolled my ankle.
Oh.
And I only skated the first day of the trip and then the very last day of the trip. The whole other time I'm just in the apartment, like everybody's going out skating. So everything was against me. Everything was just going wrong. Like, I don't know what it was. And so I got to the point where I could skate, but I couldn't flip my board. I couldn't pop off of my ankle well. I couldn't, like, so that's why if you go look at the Time to Shine part, it's a lot of shove-its. It's a lot of, it's a lot of not flipping my board because I physically couldn't.
Yeah.
And was it your right? Was it your right?
My left.
Oh, your left.
So it's my foot that I flip with.
That was the side that you had your Achilles injury on?
Yes. So I could pop off my right, but I couldn't flick. I couldn't do shit.
Yeah.
Even a heel flip, couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So that's why when you go back and look at it, you're like, wow, this part is really like, he's not flipping his board. He's not really doing anything. But a lot of people like...
A lot of shove-its.
A lot of, you know, I was doing what I could to just finish my part and to be done with it, you know?
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie though. I think you popped off a little trend though, because Kyle and I were heavily influenced by your part video, and I feel like, you know, throwing in some good shoves out,
hey,
that was sick, dude. It came through. You came through. That's like what's the
dude. I appreciate
thing.
That because I do get hit up and say like, oh, I love my Time to Shine. I love your Time to Shine part, and for me, I'm just like I just call it my mellow part. Like, that's how I categorize it. I'm like, cool, thank you, Matt. That was my mellow part.
I feel like one of the hardest things about an Achilles injury like yours is just the sheer time in as far as how long it lasts, as opposed to like a traumatic ankle injury is really gnarly, but at least you know in 2 or 3 months you're gonna be good to go. Did you kind of experience that going through that injury?
Oh, like thinking that I'm just gonna be better?
Well, just the relentlessness of how long a tendonitis injury lasts.
And see, that's a thing, like, I didn't realize that, you know? So imagine, like, in my mind, filming for this video part and being like, okay, cool, next month it's going to be better. This month it's going to be better. This month. And then it's just not getting better, you know? And, like, I didn't get an MRI. I didn't do any of that stuff. Listen, you're a broke skateboarder. You know, with like, I had no insurance, no nothing. Like, Maybe I did have insurance. I don't remember. But, you know, it's even in an MRI, you still have insurance. You're still going to pay like $1,000. Like, it's crazy the way that they have it set up. So, you know, I could have had a little tear. Like, I don't know exactly what was wrong with it, Kyle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like, just based on what you're telling me, it just sounds like you had a really gnarly bout of tendonitis. And especially with the Achilles tendonitis, like the general time frame for like fully healing is 3 to 6 months, mm-hmm. but a lot of times it's up to a year. Yeah. And as a skater, if you're dealing with that, like a year, like in your prime, that's a long time, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the toughest things about dealing with an injury like that.
Yeah. And it's kind of unknown, man. You know, you get you know, like God forbid you tear your ACL. Well, you know, you've torn your ACL, you know, you've gotten an MRI, you know, what's good, you know, you get surgery, you know, the routine to get back. You've seen other skaters go through it.
There's a timeline we understand.
It's a timeline we understand. And with that one, I didn't understand it. I didn't know what was going on. I knew that it was my Achilles, but I didn't know the healing time. I didn't know anything. And so that was really hard. And I still, to this day, not so much anymore, but for years and years and years after that injury, I would get little tweaks. Like, I'd just be skating, and I'd just get a little, like, thick, a little tweak in it, and I'd be out for a week or two. Couldn't skate. And it wasn't anything like I tweaked it. I didn't anything. I just maybe pushed funny. I just landed a little funny and got a little tweak back there. Mm-hmm. And I'd get out all my equipment. I'd go to work, get stim it. I'd do all this stuff. And, you know, a week or two out, I'd be better to skate. And so, honestly, from that point on, from that injury, it kind of hindered my whole skateboarding, you know, in a way where I was apprehensive. I was, a little scared to hurt it again. Mm-hmm. I was a little, like, it all played in my mind, you know? So
did you change your skating at all after going through that year? As far as like, oh, I don't want to try this trick again. It puts too much pressure on the Achilles, anything like that?
The only thing that, you know, if I got a little tweak skating I didn't really change anything. I tried to skate the way that I skated, but you know, it's always in the back of your mind, you know? And then again, those little tweaks that would happen once in a while are really discouraging and stuff. So, you know, to go in depth, man, from that point on, it really, like, I don't know if hindered my career is the wrong word, but it really took its toll. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not an injury that I wish on anybody, you know. I honestly I don't know what would be better, is like an ACL or like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think about that all the time because I feel like my career has been plagued by the little guys, but none of them have really endured. But they're the worst because you almost can skate. You're like pretty much there, and it's just that little bit of like, well, actually, when I step on my board, I can't. And so, fuck. Like, I'd rather be in crutches almost and just like completely out.
Yeah.
So it's like, and having that and knowing, like, I mean, I feel like I went on so many skate trips for so long, and it started to wear on me that I would get these like similar type of injuries that weren't like, oh, I'm out, gotta leave the trip. It'd be like, damn, my hamstrings tweaked and I just can't skate. And all I have is these 2 weeks. And psychologically, that wears on you, you know, knowing you're like, maybe someone's going to invest in you to go to a place. Dude, and it's, you know, you're not like risking your life and doing something reckless. It's like, oh, my body's just decided to do this. Or that's how it feels like when you're like me and you don't know anything. You know?
Oh, dude, totally.
Or not being.
And that's a funny thing, Walker, is like, you go on these trips and say I get a little tweak in my Achilles and that kind of puts me out for a week and whatever, but nobody sees it.
Right.
It's not like I fell or I got an ankle sprain or this. I'm literally skating or pushing and I'm like, oh my. And they're like, dude, what the fuck's this guy doing? Like he didn't do anything. And now he's out for and now he's not skating the whole trip. And it is, man, it is a psychological battle. Cause that company is spending thousands of dollars to send you to these places to perform, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
Yeah. I think that's two things. I think with these tendonitis issues, just the, how long they last, but also like Chris, you mentioned a couple times, the unknown, like, you know, how hard do I push it? Like how, you know, what to expect along this timeline of healing. I think all those issues are tough with this type of injury. What did you find, if anything, that helped with the pain or the healing process? Like what were things that helped for you?
You know what's funny, Kyle?
Or did anything help?
Well, one thing did help. And listen, to this day, I'm not a big stretcher. I'm not a yoga-er. I'm not a Pilates-er. You know, I don't do all these-ers, right? The only thing that I found that absolutely helps or maybe actually is preventative is the hamstring calf stretch that where you put your hands up on the wall and you put your foot all the way back and you're stretching that calf muscle. That's the only thing that I've actually really, and listen, like I said, I'm not a stretcher. Maybe there are other things, but that one stretch, because listen, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kyle, but tight calves lead to Achilles injuries.
Yeah, it can go both ways. If your calf is too tight, it can contribute to the Achilles injury. And then it can be also the other way around, where your calf is too loose and too weak, and then that can put you at risk for an Achilles injury. So really? It can kind of go both ways.
Yeah, really interesting that you say that. Huh. I never even thought about it that way. Luckily, I don't have loose calves. I have extremely tight calves. Like my calves are extremely tight.
Yeah.
So just doing that wall press thing, I don't know what that stretch is called. It's like the runners.
Yeah, just calf stretch.
Calf stretch. It's like you're trying to push this wall over, right? You got the
exactly.
So that for me, you know, I do that before I go skate for at least like, you know, 10 minutes or something. I do a couple of those each leg. I walk around for a little bit, do some more. Loosens up the calf, and I feel like that stretch has definitely helped.
So when you were going through the injury, but you were still trying to skate a little bit, would doing that stretch kind of give you a little window to be able to skate a little bit, or how would that work?
A little bit, yeah. I think at that point in time too, it was kind of the accumulative of everything, right? It's the Bosu ball. Yeah. It's the half Bosu ball that where you're doing stuff. Yeah. It's the little inflatable hockey puck that you stand on for balance. And it's the you know, having your toes on the stair and going up and down and up and down.
Did you do a lot of those?
I did a lot of those.
Good. Okay, good.
That's what we mostly have in the program on Patreon, right? The heel raises.
Yeah, I'm big on doing slow, controlled heel raises off of a stair. So good, I'm glad you did those.
Yeah, I would do those both feet. I would do 1 foot. I would do that. I mean, I probably did a million of them. you know, and that's it's funny, man, because I look at physical therapy as the most important part of the process of healing from an injury. It's the most important part. Yeah. I say if you could go to physical therapy after an injury, even if it's an ankle sprain or whatever, like go do it, right? It's the most important part. I fractured my elbow a long time ago and I never did physical therapy for it, never did anything. So I know you can't see me right now, but I can't physically touch my shoulder.
No way.
So my arm, my elbow's locked at a certain point.
Damn.
So I can't scratch, like if you reach up to scratch your shoulder with your arm, I can't do that.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, hey, physical therapy is the best part of it, you know?
I think skaters are getting better now as far as, you know, being proactive about rehabbing their injuries. But for you to do that much physical therapy, you know, 14 years ago, I feel like it was a little less common back then. So it was good you're on it.
Well, listen, I mean, back then, the healing process was you smoke some weed and drink some beers.
Yeah.
Right? That's the healing process. You sit on your couch and you wait for it to get better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I found with physical therapy, and I tell people all this time, because like when I went into physical therapy, you know, they're having me, you know, grab little marbles with my toes and putting them over there, and they're doing these little things. And I'm thinking to myself, like, God damn it. Give me some shit that will make this better. Like, don't be giving me this little stuff to do. But all those little things add up to the bigger picture, which is healing, you know? And that's where I really, the light bulb went off. And I'm like, oh, all this little stuff really matters. It really matters, you know? So don't get discouraged if you go to physical therapy and they got you picking up little marbles with your toes. And like that's a process.
Do you feel like your physical therapist kind of understood what you needed to do as a skater, or was there a little bit of a disconnect as far as that?
Well, that's what I'm saying, Kyle, is like, I went in there and like, you know, sometimes when you get hurt, I mean, Walker, you probably know, it's like you go into a doctor. Do they fully understand that you're an athlete? Do they fully understand the impact of skateboarding does on your body? Like, you start second guessing that stuff when you're going to see these people. You know, you're like, does this guy even fucking know? Like, does he know the strenuous things that you put your body through with skateboarding? Like, or is he just treating you like the 60-year-old man who comes in there that fell off the curb and twisted his ankle? Like, you start wondering these things.
I bet you're wondering I bet you're wondering that when you're picking up those marbles.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, get me on some, like, you know, get me running around, get me, like, you know, putting the thing down and jumping over from this side to this side. Like,
make me sweat.
Make me feel it. Make me feel it. And that, but I slowly then realized that, like, all that little stuff matters, you know, and it wasn't for nothing, you know, it all adds up to the end goal.
Yeah. So you would say you had a positive, you do feel like physical therapy helped in your situation over the long term.
Oh, it helped tremendously. And that's the reason why I'm such a big proponent of physical therapy for injuries, you know.
That's awesome.
Like, I tell everybody, like, physical therapy is the most important part. It's the most important part. And to answer your question, like, did I know what was good? Like, the people that, like, at some point in time, you got to put your trust in somebody, you know. You got to put your trust in them, and hopefully they're doing the right thing, you know. And I mean, after 4 months, after 6 months, and you're getting a little better, but not, I mean, you start to second guess, right? Like, is this should I go see somebody else? Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it all worked out, you know?
Sure. That's good.
Kyle, have you come across any patients who had this and, like, let's say it was someone in Chris's position who just didn't do anything for years, and then they have to work through it in a kind of a different way? Like, have you come across that with it, with this particular injury?
Meaning, do some people ignore this injury and then come to me way too late type thing? Is that what you're
asking? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like Chris had a really gnarly version of this, but sometimes the tendonitis injuries can be just kind of a nagging thing that people just try to ignore. And then usually tendonitis injuries just don't go away on their own. So, with most people, there comes a point where there's like, all right, I got to do something about this. And sometimes those, if they've had it for a long time, it's a little bit harder to get those, like, on the right track. But it's not uncommon for people just to put off kind of the more mild versions of the tendonitis stuff. Yeah.
Oh, so that's interesting. So you're saying, like, even if you have a mild version of the tendonitis and you don't seek help for it, you could be having that the rest of your life.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it goes away on its own, but a lot of times it doesn't.
Okay.
And so people think, you know, like an ankle injury, like an ankle sprain, you know, there's a predictive healing kind of timeline. But with these tendon injuries, a lot of times, you know, sometimes they'll go away on their own, but a lot of times you have to take action, and it's just a matter of when you do that.
Gotcha.
Is surgery ever an outcome, or like a necessary part of this?
Every once in a while, but it's usually a diligent, continuous exercise program that is the mainline treatment for these types of things.
Hmm.
But every once in a while, like when that fails, I have a patient right now who ended up having an Achilles tendon repair just because he tried therapy for years, and it didn't quite get rid of his symptoms. So every once in a while you have that.
And what do? They like stitch it back or something? I have a hard time visualizing exactly like what's going on with the tendon.
Sometimes like there's some tissues, like some bone tissue around the tendon that is just poking at that tendon, and that's contributing to the symptoms. So they'll clean that out, and then they'll actually repair the damaged tendon, and that's kind of the surgery. But usually they do that tendon surgery when, you know, like if you remember Kevin Durant, the basketball player, they usually do that tendon repair when they completely tear traumatically the tendon. That's usually when they do the surgery.
Well, that's like Kobe Bryant, you know, rest
yep,
in peace.
Kobe Bryant too.
It's kind of a partial tear, right? Because listen, that Achilles tendon, I've heard stories of that completely snapping. And it literally snaps into your hamstring area, your thigh, right?
Yeah, it can completely tear. The tear that Kobe and Durant had, that was a full on tear, even though it didn't completely separate. Those were full on tears.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, enough to get surgery. So, yeah, those are gnarly.
Yeah, luckily those, you know, I always envied, you know, professional athletes, because they hurt themselves. They hurt their finger. They hurt anything on their body. And they are immediately starting the healing process. Immediately. Yep. And I always felt like, man, like if skaters had that ability, you know, to like immediately start the physical therapy process, immediately start treatment to get that thing better. You know?
Yeah.
Like we would we'd be in such a good spot, you know, but it's just not what skateboarding is and can do, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Unless you're a Red Bull athlete.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, Chris, you were on it going to PT two or three times a week. Like if you're in the NBA, you're getting, and you have an injury, you're getting PT like three times a day.
Right.
You know, it's pretty gnarly.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Excuse me. That's what I'm saying is that it's just, like I said, I envy them, you know.
They have that advantage.
They have that advantage. Like if they have a hangnail, they're going in and getting treatment right away, you know. They're starting that healing process for their hangnail.
Because it's so sad when you hear about these, or when you just wonder, like, what happened to that dude?
Yeah.
You know, and it turns out it was just a bad ankle break that they just
can't
fucking ignored or dealt with in the worst way. And like, We as fans lost, like, you know, it could have been 20 more years of awesome skating or output.
Dude, you look at Scott Kane. Scott Kane is a perfect example
exactly
of that. He came on our show and was, because he kind of disappeared. He you know, bootleg with this video part, switchback heel, nose rail, and just great. Like, the dude was insane. Right.
Yeah.
And
every adder clip felt like next level skating.
Crazy. And out of the blue. And so his ankle, and then the ankle leaded to, you know, like, I don't know if psychological like damage was, you know, it just snowballed. Right.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know, love Scott. He's the man. But perfect example.
Yeah.
And it's a hard thing to talk about, you know, like, you know.
Well, especially back then.
Yeah. Totally.
Now the dialogues open a little more, and you know, people like Neen Williams are killing it and doing his kettlebells, and like, you know, he's doing, it's so accepted now, you know.
Yeah.
Back when we were going walkers, like, dude, that you put something like that out, look at this fool.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Look at this fool working out.
I think skaters are both now taking care of their injuries more seriously, but also doing kind of proactive stuff to stay healthy, kind of like what Neen is doing. And I think it can only be a positive thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So let me ask you this, Kyle, like if I came to you with my injury that I had and you assessed me, first of all, would you want to see an MRI? Would you want to see an X-ray, or would you just go off of what you feel in my leg and what I'm experiencing?
Yeah, typically no. I could make the diagnosis and get you on a game plan without an MRI.
Okay.
Typically, most people don't need an MRI to get a good diagnosis of Achilles tendonitis.
Okay. And then what would be the path that you would lead me down? You know, maybe you know, not necessarily step by step, but like, what would you like start me off with? And what would you like want to see? Because mind you, like, I, you know, with this injury, like I could walk, you know, I could like, not well, maybe a little bit of a limp. Like I, it hurts tremendously. Like, what would you start me off doing?
Well, I would start by having a frank conversation about kind of your injury. Mm-hmm. And I would do my best to answer all these questions that you had at the time. Like, how long is this going to take to heal? Can I keep skating while I have this? Mm-hmm. You know, how hard should I push it when I do these exercises?
Right.
Am I going to have, you know, along this timeline of healing, am I going to have flare-ups from time to time? I'd try to address all those things just to set up expectations. And then as soon as I could, I would probably get you on a heavy-duty strengthening program.
Mm, okay.
So I really focus on the heel raises off of the stair.
Yes.
To strengthen, but also when you go down off the stair, you're stretching the tendon too, which I know stretching was helpful for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you progress those heel raises. And then down the line, once you can tolerate certain movements, I try to make up exercises that look like skateboarding as much as possible.
So you wouldn't have me picking up marbles with my toes?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't think that lasted long. I think that was just like, you know, a little bit of it.
It's an experience you needed, you know? You needed to have that in your pocket, yeah.
I could tell people I've picked up marbles with my toes, and I'm actually pretty good at it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes for like the really acute cases where it's hard to walk, it's hard to do the heavier duty strengthening exercises, I would, but I try to load up the tendon with strengthening exercises as soon as tolerable.
Yeah, because I did kind of go in there, you know, really, I went in there hurt.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
I don't know if they started me off with the little heel raise thing. I honestly, this was years ago, so I can't remember, but I don't think I could have done that right away. You know, I really think that I, for what I was going through, I really needed to start off slow, you know, and they would do little stretches and get the little, you know, bands out, and then do the stim and the ice, which was pretty much my favorite part. And then give me the just stretching, get the hamstrings. Yeah. They were doing all kinds of stuff. And mind you, these are only hour sessions, you know, so you can only do so much in an hour.
Did they do like little soft tissue work to the calf, like massage type stuff?
Massage, ultrasound, whatever that is, the red laser thing. Like, so they were doing all that stuff, right?
They threw it all at you. That's good.
I told him to. I said, give me it all, baby. I'm like, Papa needs to get back out there.
I need that board. Yeah. I need that pro model.
Totally. Totally.
Did you get the board drop after that video?
It did.
That's awesome. I love that it's still.
Well, Transworlds.
It still came out and you didn't have like we're going to wait for the next project.
Well,
the mellow part turns you pro.
Yeah. The Transworld videos back then were big. You're huge.
Yeah. You're like, you get like the golden ticket, especially that period. Like, it's like, all right, they pick five dudes, sometimes like four dudes.
Yeah. And also you're not working for your company. You're going outside and working on this other project, which was few and far between back then, you know?
Yeah.
Not everybody was working on their own shit and putting out YouTube parts and charging 99 cents on iTunes for, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that. It was like, you work for your company that you skate for. Wow, dude did a Transworld video. Like, he's working on that. Like, amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big deal. But it's interesting. I wish you were around back then, Kyle, man. Or, you know, you probably were, but I just didn't know about you. And
well, I was in PT school back then, so I was working my way up.
I still would have come and saw you.
Okay, cool. Well, hey, dude, if you ever need a little tune up, I'm right there in Santa Monica. I'm right next door.
Oh, man, I appreciate that, man. And definitely, I mean, skateboarding is low of impact or high as impact or whatever you're doing. You know, it's you're most likely going to get hurt.
Yeah. Oh, it's inevitable for sure.
So, for sure. But you are, you have been, I've been enjoying the clips. Chris.
Thank you,
You've been ripping, dude. And you,
yeah, the curb clips are really cool.
Hey, I appreciate that. And that, I've just found that I love it, you know, and I guess I'm at the point in my career where you know, I don't want to go sit in a car and go to a schoolyard and do all that stuff, even though I love it. But I want to ride my bike down and skate and have fun. I mean, I with the Nine Club, I'm so busy that if I go skate one day a week, like, I cherish that. You know, I don't want to spend it sitting in a car or getting kicked out of a spot. And I just want to go and have fun. Right. And if I film something with my boys, cool. If I don't, I'm totally cool. You know, I just want to have fun.
But it's cool because you're still, at least I think you are. It seems like you're learning new tricks like week by week. That's
well,
sick.
Dude, that Kyle, the thing is like slappies. I never thought I'd be doing slappies in my life. I would talk shit.
It's like a whole new world.
I would talk shit to Roger. I'd be like, you're right, you can do slappies, man. You got rails on your board. Look at you, man. Come on, bro. And lo and behold, like, I went down there, and maybe the second day I went down there, I went, got rails, put them on my board. Like, it's just, it's so addicting, man, to learn this new technique of riding into it. It's just a whole, like, I enjoy it so much.
Yeah, it is a whole different world though, for sure.
Oh man,
what I like about watching, because I haven't caught the bug 100%. I got my choice slappies, but I haven't really like gotten weird, is that it's like you've always been a ledge skater, and you get to learn new ledge tricks, but in this different way, like oh shit, like really hold the switch front crook and then like try something out. Like it's not like a totally different form. It's so linked, and I think that's what's exciting about like watching it.
Oh,
and
dude, and
someday Kyle, we'll catch the bug.
You will catch the bug, and I guarantee you, like, the first few times it'll be frustrating. You're like, slappy crook, like slappy switch switch crook. I don't know, what the hell am I doing? Like, but it gets to be so like, oh my god, it's so fulfilling. And like, I feel like this point in my career, whatever you want to call it, it's prolonging it in a weird way, you know, because I'm not, you know, listen, ollieing and flipping your board and doing stuff on a ledge, like, all that takes energy, and it takes... Yeah. It takes a toll on the body, you know, it takes a toll on your legs. You're constantly jumping and jumping and jumping and jumping. I'm not doing that on a daily basis now. So I come home from 5 hours of skating and I'm a little worn down. I'm a little tired, but I'm good. You know, I'm not sore. My legs don't hurt crazy. Like, I don't need Epsom salt baths. I don't need cold plunge. Like, I feel great, you know, and I think that's where I am like, this is amazing, because I'm learning tricks, I'm getting out there, I'm having fun with my friends, and it's not taking a fucking major toll on my body, you know. Yeah. So there's so many little facets to it where I'm just like, this is fun, man. This is so fun. Yeah. I could do this all day.
Yeah, well, it's been fun to watch you guys learn all those new tricks. I love it.
Hey, you guys got to come down once in a while and have a little sesh with us. You know, you'll have rails on your board in no time.
Well, I personally need to face my slappy fears. I've had a couple tough goes at trying to learn slappies, but I think I need to give it another shot.
Learning them is like you feel so dumb messing up a slappy. Yeah. Like there's no like worse feeling almost than like it, especially knowing people are watching. Oh, like it's a hurdle, you know. You gotta like learn to like accept that you're just gonna feel stupid slamming into, like, it's like you just ran into something that was
Walker. It's a 4-inch curb. It's 4 inches high. Like you're not switch backside flipping love fountain. Like, this is a 4-inch curb. And that's the most frustrating part, is like, it can fucking wreck you. You can get bodied on it, and and you mess up on a stupid little slappy. You're like, this little curb got me, man. Like, it's. But at the end of the day, it's super fun, and you know, I'm just thankful that I'm good. You know, I think that Achilles injury really. Man, it was really tough to go through, man. Like, the year of that was just, whew, it was really, it was tough mentally and physically, bro.
Well, we appreciate you coming on here and
telling us the story, sharing the story.
Because I've heard you allude to it, but I feel like I've never heard like the full story. So it was good to hear the details.
Well, I don't know. I feel like the nightclub experience is everybody's like, oh, Chris, you need your own nightclub interview. And I'm like, well, if you watch our show enough, you'll get to know me. You know, you'll get to know me. But,
for sure.
You know, at times I can't go in depth. You know, it's a two-hour show. We have other things to talk about. There's four other people there. Like, I can't go in depth about my injury. Mm-hmm. You know, I can touch on it and say this and say that. But, you know, to come on here and really dive into it is good. And I don't know, man. I don't know. I know this is a podcast and a talk show, but I've been talking a lot. I guess the main takeaway that I would love people to take away from this is physical therapy is super important. You get hurt, you go get physical therapy. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a little sprained ankle. It doesn't matter if, like, go get worked on.
Yeah.
Because it is important.
Yeah.
And plus, if you want to come back faster.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you're preaching the choir, but it's good to hear someone else besides me say it.
I'm just glad to hear that too, that you had a good program going, you know, cause yeah, I feel like I've heard you mention it, and like any skater who mentions their injuries, like, usually don't go into like really what they worked on or who, you know, like who was helping them through it. But I'm just really stoked to hear that you had someone that sounds like knew what to help.
Well, and let me tell you this, dude, is I think if it wasn't for being in the middle of the Transworld video, I don't know. I mean, I probably would have eventually, but I don't know if I would have actually started.
Oh, yeah. Pressure. Interesting.
And like felt the urgency of what the hell's wrong with me. Get this diagnosed. Let's get into physical therapy right now. I got this deadline. Mm-hmm. I got to go. Let's do this. You know, if I didn't have that, I may have waited a month or two. I would have seen what's going on. I would have been on my couch just hoping and praying that it would be better. Like I would be, you know, like almost like thank God that I was doing that Transworld video and I actually went out and immediately sought help, you know?
Yeah.
Well, good.
What would you, Kyle, what would you recommend people do? I mean, you're a physical therapist. You want people to seek help and everything, but am I on the right track there? Like just kind of whatever is going on with you, go to, you know, listen, it's expensive. Skaters are broke. You know, money's an issue, right? But like, you know, hey, listen, even paying $75 or whatever that is to get the knowledge of, hey, what can I do? What are the stretches? Like, listen, be frank with them. Be like, listen, I can't afford you, but I'm willing to pay the $75 or $100, $150, whatever you charge, to get the information so I can take that back home and do the stuff. And maybe I can come to you like, you know, once or twice a month, you know?
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. Get your injuries taken care of sooner rather than later. Yeah. The longer you let injuries, especially like a tendonitis injury, linger, it just takes longer for it to get back into shape. And just know that when you go see a good physical therapist, they can work with your financial situation. If, you know, if you're a broke skater, like a lot of us are, you know, we can just tell you what to do at home and then we can give you a good home program. Mm-hmm. And if you're able to commit to coming in a couple times a week, you know, that's good too. So at least take some sort of action. So I second that.
Yeah, and that's what I think is like, you just be honest with people, you know, like they're there to help you, you know, like, of course they would love for you to come back and charge you money and make a, you know, good revenue stream off of you. But listen, you be honest with them and be like, dude, I can't afford this. Like, I need the help. I need your guidance. Like, let's just be honest with each other, you know,
for sure. For sure. And, you know, I'm honest with my skaters too, because, you know, a lot of skaters come from other parts of Southern California to see me. Mm-hmm. And I always ask them like, hey, is this like a one and done, like tell me what to do type consultation? Or do you want to come back for follow-ups? We can do it either way, but let's just, you know, let's just set up the expectations. And it both work out, you know? Well, dude.
All right, guys. Was that it, man?
Chris, thank you. That's it.
Thank you for hopping on. And I'm going to hit you up.
You got to come on for a stop and chat, bro.
Oh, that'd be sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah.
You got to do that. And you already have the microphone. You're good.
And Chris, next time I go to the Santa Monica curbs, I'll hit you up.
Dude, please do, bro. Both of you guys got to come down there, man, and skate, dude. Yeah. We could do a little pre-workout, man. You could stretch my calf
there
for me.
There you go.
Seriously, there it is. No, yep.
Done.
Get as much as you can out of Kyle if you're ever around him in person.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
Hey, knowledge is wealth, baby.
Hell yeah, Chris. All right, well, I'll
all right.
Y'all keep you posted.
Okay.
And yeah, dude, thanks again.
Thanks again, Chris.
Of course. I'm gonna stop the recording now.
All right, dude, that's a wrap.
That was good. That was really sick.
That was a good one.
Chris is the best.
Yeah, he killed. That's why he's the podfather.
He really is, dude. Yep. He knows.
He's skateboarding's podfather.
Yep. Cool. Well, quick breakdown of what's coming in December.
Yeah, so next month we have we're talking about patellofemoral pain, which is basically kneecap pain. So we got a lot of good information about this injury and how to treat it and just kind of what it is. So that's coming next.
All right. Well, thanks, Kyle.
Thank you, Walker. We'll see you next month.
Once again, thank you, Bobby Renz, for the music. Peace out.